I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 6. Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're thinking this morning about Christ, the way. And this is John chapter 14. It's part of the Lord's final words to his disciples just before he went to the cross of Calvary. It is likely that the Lord had said these things in the place that is normally called the upper room, the final last place where the Savior met his own disciples, to have that close contact with them outside the eyes of the world, because he loved them so much. And at the point of his departure, he would have this close communion with them. And this is part of what he told them. His purpose was to cheer them and to comfort them, because he saw that they were sad that he was going to leave them. And the thought, really, the fact that the Savior will not be among them sometime, had begun to disturb them. And the Savior would not see them so distraught and so uncomforted. And so he speaks these words of comfort to them. And it is quite helpful, friends, that when the Savior is comforting his disciples, he speaks about heaven. And he speaks about himself. Because that's the real source of comfort. If people would know this, if that's not my theme this morning. But friends, the real comfort has to be in a divine person. Somebody far greater than ourselves. Otherwise, how can any human being be a source of comfort? Of course, we are thankful for people who are around, but note that they are very much limited in how much they can help or grant us, give us. But here, the Savior speaks about himself and heaven as the comfort. So in the process of speaking about himself, he uses these three powerful pictures about himself. In that verse, in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because Thomas had suggested they did not know where the Savior was going. And the Savior told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, because the three of them all describes the Savior, and all of them, each one of them is so rich, I will not attempt to speak about all of them, because that would take us too much time. So I want to just pick one of them, hopefully, because I'm not too sure. I would want to pick on another, probably the Lord willing, next week. So only the first one there that we want to reflect upon, that Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. And this is quite rich, because it's filled with encouragement, it's filled with direction, it's filled with warning even. And these are all in this single sentence here. I am the way, says the Lord. What did he mean when he said that I am the way? Well, I'll try and draw out maybe about three or four items, and then look at the final word, unto the Father, a little more, and then I'll be done. I am the way. When the Savior said that, he meant very clearly that the very journey of life and the journey to heaven never begins until a person has found the Lord. He is the journey. The word translated way can be translated, I am the road. There is a road of life. There is a journey of life. All of us are on a journey. And the Savior is saying, you have not even begun. You've not started the journey yet until you know me. Because I am the way. You have to travel on that path. Otherwise, you are still afar off. You're still really roaming about elsewhere, gloping in some darkness, in some remote bush somewhere. You are lost. You are not anywhere near home until you find the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this is what it means. So, you see that the background is the fact that we are all, until we find the Lord Jesus Christ, are like people who are really roaming about. As the Isaiah says there, that we are all like a wandering sheep. We are all roaming about aimlessly, hopelessly, wasting away our years until we find Him, until we actually come to Him and place our feet upon the path, then we are truly on our way home. Then we are truly on the way of life, on the pathway of life. And so this speaks to us very much. My dear friends, if you are not converted this morning, if you have not really come to the Savior, well, it tells you what you are doing with your life. You are a wanderer. You are a lost person. You need to place your feet on the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were. Rest your life upon Him as He will put that on a pathway. You rest your life into His arms. What does that mean? It simply means this: I come to Him as a needy sinner who has nothing at all to be received or admired about Him, and trust only in the Savior. And I yield my life to Him. He will be my governor, my Lord, my master. I'll be happy to be a mere servant, listening to Him, following Him, obeying Him. And so, this is how life begins. When I have come in repentance, yielded my life to the Savior, and then He makes me His disciple and His follower the rest of my life. Now, a road also, because of the wandering, when the Savior said that I am the way, it also suggests relief. How does it suggest relief? Now, think of the picture again. We are wandering. We are lost in some far, far place. We do not even know where we are going. We were going for something in the farm. Maybe we're going for some fruits. It's a mango season, and we had our sacks with us. We wanted to go for some mangoes or something like that, and we went into the far place in the bush. And then as we wandered about, we actually forgot our way. Now here we are with a load of mangoes on our heads, and then we cannot find our way. One suggests this, another suggests that. We are moving back and forth. We really do not know where to turn. And then, can you think of it? Then we, as we seem to be roaming, we come to find the way. And we look at it carefully. And truly, this is the way. This is the way that leads to our houses. Now, there's a relief, isn't it? When we were wandering, there was a sense of hopelessness and even fear. But once we set our feet on the way, there's relief to the heart. There's a sense that now we are no longer lost. Even though the road may be long or short, eventually we'll get home. And so it's in this sense that the Savior speaks. The Lord Jesus Christ presents Himself, especially in the Gospel of John, as the only source of relief. One of them is in John chapter 7, when the Lord Jesus says that he that believes in Him, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water. What does He mean? You would have the deepest contentment and relief. Your heart will settle and be calm, because you know, now this is life. Now I know what is happening. I did not know what would happen in the coming days, but I know that I would eventually reach home, because you are on the pathway. You found the road, and you are walking on it now. Friends, it feels the same thing when you become a Christian. You know, until you are converted. And of course, the life of sin, at least, tastes nice for a while, isn't it? When I am really living to myself and doing all kinds of foolish things, they seem nice. Because we all have mischievous hearts. So the one when we are rebelling, there's some sweetness in it. See, this is why we all in our teens rebel. Because there's some sweetness. You see, a sense that after all, I'm breaking from rules, I'm breaking from authority. There's a sense of sweetness with rebellion. But soon, it turns out to be bitter. It soon shows that we are really not wise at all. And so that's when the trouble begins. That's when we begin to be anxious. We may not actually come to the Lord, but we begin to realize that we are actually hurting ourselves. We are wasting our years. We're wasting our energies. We're wasting our money. And all these kind of things. We do not see these things. But friends, the very moment we begin to understand the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ came to lay down his life for needy sinners. And we repent and yield our lives to him. And he washes away our lives and puts a new nature into us. Life becomes so clear. Life's purpose becomes singular. You begin to see the life, the reason for life isn't two or three. You begin to see the point of it. This is the point of it all. There is an interesting book that is that I think many a number of Christians may have read. I don't think it's available here, but it's this book we got because of one of our young men who is doing a study. It was written, really not by a Christian, but he was trying to show. He's not a Christian, but he was trying to show that there has to be a wonder in the world. He writes as somebody who believes, some of you adults know, who believes in what is called evolution. And he takes it for granted, you know, in this world now, most people speak about life and they take that for granted. That, oh, well, we were here some billions of years ago, things like that. But this man, as I said, not a Christian, is beginning to say that what we are losing is a sense of wonder. Because whether we like it or not, in fact, all the discoveries of science rather should deepen our sense of wonder. But this is why I'm telling you this. That he raised the idea, as I said, he isn't a Christian, so he raised the idea of God as their solution. Could it be that we were made by God? And he's going to throw away the idea. He still wants to promote the idea of wonder. I don't know how he's going to do that. And I'm not done reading him anyway. But he wants to show the idea of wonder, but he wants to set aside the idea of God. And when he picked up the idea, the possibility that the wonder is here because of God, he said this. But it seems absurd, it seems foolish, that if there's any God at all, he will pay attention to little things on earth like this. In fact, then I wrote at the side of the book. Why? Why should somebody go to school and as part of his PhD or something like that, he'll be looking at the small microorganisms in somebody's sputum? Why should he give his own ears to things like this? Do we regard that to be wise? Now, when somebody becomes converted, he appreciates that wonder, not only that, but he finds the reason why. Almighty God, though great and awesome, should give attention to him. And that's what moves us, and that's what settles us. Like a child who thinks he doesn't have parents who care. Many, we grow up in a rebellion, that kind of stuff. Who cares? Ghana, who cares? Politicians don't care. And things like we say this. And it's part of the reason why people go wild and they want to take things into their own hands. No one cares. If I take that criminal to the police station, don't let him go, they say. And so who cares? But this is what brings the relief. It's a relief that makes me willing to say, now I will be submissive. When I begin to realize this all awesome God, this mighty God, indeed takes interest in puny, petty creatures like us. The man couldn't appreciate it because it's a contradictory, really, that somebody cannot appreciate about. The point is this, if somebody isn't converted, he never sees the wonder of God taking notice of him. And that in effect rests the heart. You can say, I can leave matters with him. This is what makes faith easy. This is what makes faith in God easy. This is the awesome God. And I, a small creature, he takes interest in me and in my affairs. I can yield myself to him. You don't know that until you find the Savior. As the wanderer set his feet in the pathway and his soul rests knowing he's going home. So it is. with a person who comes to know the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the heart rests, and that relief brings him to be so willing, so ready to trust the Lord and to obey him and to follow him and to throw away all self-confidence he had built in the past, to place his life only in the Savior and in this Lord. Friends, I am the way, says the Savior. Friends, I suggest something else. What does a way or road does? Does it not direct our steps? It directs the focus of our movement, doesn't it? Once you are on a road, somebody can give a direction saying things like, well, you know, in English we use this expression, follow the road, isn't it? So you set yourself on the road and somebody says, well, you follow the road. Then when you get to the junction, turn to the left or to the right, when we are giving directions to people. I am the way, says the Savior, tells us that he directs the focus of life. Once I am his, once I repent of sin and yield my life to him, he becomes the leader. And the beauty is, he does it quietly as the road. You know, the road directs the focus without a noise, without a shout. The road doesn't shout on you, does it? It doesn't. Very quietly, it's there. Once you're following it, you are still getting to where you're supposed to go. And so it is with the Savior. Because when you become converted, you wouldn't need to be shouted upon. The Savior will give you a tender conscience. He works in you. And when you read his word, it challenges you. And it brings you down. And you want to follow what it says. Oh, friends, it is the reason why what is called the new birth is so important. Without it, no one really follows the Lord, I'm sure you know. Without the new birth, you wouldn't obey the Lord. Like yesterday, we were having a conversation just in the porch there, and one of our brethren was saying that if people, and he was absolutely right, if people don't know the Lord, even when they seem to do good things, they do it out of a different motive. Never for God. Never for him. Even if, and he gave this specific example, even when people want to be honest, they want to be honest in order perhaps to get admiration, things like that. Never for him. Well, and so actually that happens because they do not know him. Once they are his, he becomes the focus, influencing everything. And then it gives you courage in obeying him. It will let you be bold to obey him in everything, because you are his, and he's directing every affair, and he's leading the way. Christ says, I am the way, because he will direct the entire focus. And life can be so uncertain, and life can be so confusing. Dear friends, I hope you may have, all of us may have known this a number of times. There will be times for very sensitive decisions to be made. If I'm a young person, I will have to make decisions. And you know that some of the decisions, just a single wrong decision, may have such long-time implications. One typical example that we are often given is the wonder of taking decisions about marriage. They say that it's a decision we all take when we are most inexperienced. You don't have to experience it before you take it. You take it when you don't know anything about it. You have heard, you have seen a little, but you know nothing of the details, and yet you take a decision. And one that can really change so much in your life, and that all your living period on this earth. Friends, this is one aspect of life that for me makes Christianity so delightful. When you are not sure, you can always go to him. You can go to the Savior. He is your Lord, your Master. If you are sincerely willing to follow him, you go to him, you are not sure where to focus your the direction of your life. You go to him, you call upon him, you cry to him, and he will answer. You know, there's something we call his powerful overruling. It works like the way a road does. You know the overruling of God? If I his child, and you really want to know his will, and you really want to please him in a certain decision, but in all your sins, you are not trying to hide anything. You are not having secret schemes. You've laid your case entirely before him. And yet somehow you are wrong. Somehow your step is still in the wrong direction. Exactly like a road, he will simply move off your steps. This is amazing, my dear friends. And it is because we are his. We have placed our feet on the way, and he is focusing the entire movement. Oh, friends, would you do that? Would you place your life in his arm in total humility? Tired of having run your own life. You are tired of having been the master and ruler and governor. And you say, Lord, I come. I no longer want to govern and rule my own life. I yield it to you. And you do that sincerely, repenting for the period when you have been your own ruler. You have to feel ashamed that you're so snobby because you thought you were intelligent enough to manage. And here you are. You find yourself in trouble in the deepest things of life. And you come to him. And you bow the knee to him. You come not only that he washes away your sins, that is number one for sure, but you come also because you long for a new master and a new ruler. And as I said, confidence is smashed to pieces. You are afraid to even raise any confidence in yourself. All is built upon the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, these things are quite encouraging to us. The Lord Jesus says this. Look at the passage again. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me pick out one more then. I'll just come to the last sentence there. I am the way. This is definite. This is exclusive. I am the way. The Lord speaks this way, friend, because he is hinting at the fact that in life there are many roads. There are many suggested roads. All of them are false. All of them are untrue. But they can lead us. I am the way. The only genuine way. You know all these ideas about how to do this. Now in the days of social media, all the how-tos are everywhere. How to do this, how to do that, how to do this. Everybody's giving you a suggestion. Yesterday we went to an outing, and as I think we were speaking with a young man, and then I think I forget at the point where he said that, oh, if you like, go and Google, and we have to tell him, oh, don't be so sure about Google. Everything comes up there, good and nonsense. All of them come together. And the sad thing is, you would have to pick what you like, and what standards are you using to pick your own tastes. Because at the end of the day, you're only looking for what confirms what you want to do. That's how unsafe we are. Oh, friends, when the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, it makes it so secure and comforting. It makes it so, it calms your heart. If I am his, and if he is my Lord and my Savior, then I am in the way. I will not be lost. I will not go astray. I've actually found the way home. I can shut my ears to all other roads. I can confidently say, not that road, not that road, not the other two. This is the one. The confidence to say no to all the ideas around, all the how-tos, and simply say, I want to listen to the Lord. Years ago I read a story, it's a sad one. It was obviously in Europe. A woman was traveling with a little baby with her in a train. It was the winter time, it was snowing very heavily. But she didn't know where she was going. This is some years ago, several years ago. She didn't know where she was going. So when she got into the train, she did well. She told the conductor, is that how they call him? I told him, well, I want to alight at such and such a place, but I do not know that. Would you be willing to help me? So no problem. When we are just about to get there, I will just come and notify you about that. And so this lady was sitting there. Well, they had gone on for a while, and then the train stopped at a particular place, then went on, and when it stopped again, somebody, a passenger, told this lady, oh yes, this is the place. And so this lady got down. And so after about two or three more stops, the conductor came and said, where is the lady now? This is your destination. And then somebody said, oh, she stopped about three stops away. And the conductor said, how? Why could she stop at such a place? We are sure she would die. In the blizzard of the winter winds, how would she survive? And of course, what they did was they phoned in, and the police and the firefighters went there, and indeed she had cuddled the child in her bosom, but they were dead. She and the baby. Why? Somebody has suggested a way. Somebody suggested this is the point, but they were wrong. Friends, it's entirely comforting, my dear friends. Is anybody here, anyone here, you do not want to listen to the Lord? And ideas of men fill your ears? Ideas of friends? The things you see everybody do, that's what you want to do? Oh, friend, you will throw away your life, we are sure. It may bring you some benefits, some material. Sorry. Some material benefits for now. Only for a short time there may be some benefits, you think. But you will throw away your soul. You'll be lost forever. Who are you listening to? What path have you chosen? Who rules your way? Who is influencing the direction of your movement? Yourself? Do you know the future? Do you know the tricks along the road? Do you know the snares? Do you know them? But here is a Savior, he comes to us. Friends, isn't that kindness itself? Knowing how easily we can be deceived. Oh friends, if we know how poor our state is, and how easily we can all be deceived. Friends, do we believe ourselves? Well, you may believe yourself when it comes to, say, economics and how to manage a home, which would be wonderful for our mothers. You know how to manage a few things, that's okay. When it comes to life, what you do with your decisions, what you would do with your time and energies, none of us is that wise. There's not a single wise man in this matter. We are all amateurs on the way of life. We have to be instructed. We have to be taught. We have to be shown. Not some way and that we take on. No, we have to be shown all the way. And if we saw how poor and dangerous our state is, how thankful we will be. And as I said, how relieved we will be to say, now here is the Savior, and he says, I am the way. Now you don't need to worry about all the ways. You don't need to go and flicker through them all. Only listen to me. I am the way. I will take you home. I will take you there. I always remember those years ago. I wonder what I've told you here, but I've said it, I think, a number of times elsewhere. I think it was ago, I was going to visit one of our church members. I was in the Reformed persuasion, but I was going to visit one of our members in a village, a Jumakon, somewhere there. And then they gave me the description to the house, but obviously this is a village, and to be difficult to know where it was. I'm always amazed at the impression. And when I got down, I didn't know why, but I saw a little boy. He wasn't even wearing a shirt, barefooted, dirty. And I asked him, because the lady was a teacher, and I said that, "Do you know Miss So and So?" And this boy said yes. And he simply said, "Follow me." I can see myself nicely dressed, following this little chap. And he was going round the temple, just following him, just like that. Why? Because do I have an option? If I dare, I should go off where he's going. I'd be lost, isn't it? Because I knew, I didn't know the place. It was so easy to follow even a little boy who doesn't seem to be knowledgeable about anything perhaps apart from the road. I'm sorry, I don't have to be demeaning to him like that. Sorry. But anyway, so it is. The problem is, we have not come to see how dangerous our cases. Foolish self-confidence is killing us. We think we would manage. We think we can go on. Surely, do you know when we are off the road and we do not even know? Then even a snare becomes a sweet, you know? Snare lures becomes very tasty, and we like it. The time we see that it's killing us would have been too late. Here is the road, the Lord Jesus said. It makes life so profoundly simple. What do you need to do? Do you have to see all the ways things are done? You don't have to. All you need to do is to trust in the Savior. Place your feet on the road. Just that. Come to Him. Come in repentance, ashamed of having ever believed yourself and gone on through life so much without Him. And now come and say, "Lord, I yield this life to You." Every one of us here must do this if we haven't done that. Sincerely, come to Him in shame. Come to Him as somebody who's tired of your self-confidence and your courage to go on by yourself, and bow in humility and a sense of shame that you have already sinned and failed so much in the path I chose. I've only sinned and sinned and sinned. And now come to Him and yield your life into His hand and ask Him to have mercy upon you. Let me begin to close with the last sentence there. Verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This is another thing that makes this road unique. This road does not lead you to a house. It will eventually. It doesn't lead you to an office. It leads you to a person. It makes it unique. It leads you to a person, and that's the Father. So that the Lord is saying this, "He that comes to me," remember I mentioned at the beginning, the wonderful thing about Christianity is not the things you are coming to learn for your head. You will learn it by all means. It is not the rules you're coming to learn about how to do this and what not to do. There are some of that which will be done out of gratitude to God. But it is chiefly to come to a person, to come to have a relationship with the Lord, to come to have Him as your own Father, and you will live under Him as a son. You come to taste of His loving kindness and care. You come to a Father who Himself, think of the perfect Father. He's called a father because he is the caretaker. Now, in fact, it speaks of a family. He brings you to a family with a father at the head. A perfect father who knows exactly what to do. He brings you to this father who will be the one who will show so much interest in every aspect of your life. A father who truly cares. A father who defends. He is the one who will stand for you. A father who will be the leader and will champion things for us. A father who will go before us and accomplish things. We only go to enjoy them. And that's what our Father is doing in heaven. He does it all. We are only brought in to enjoy it. He brings it to a father. A father in the sense that he is the one who has power not only to defend, but sufficiency to provide. He's a father. He never runs out of resources. He provides and provides sufficiently for his own. My dear friends, we are bold above others. That our Father in heaven will always provide for the needs of his people. He provides, we know, wisely. He will never spoil us. He provides lovingly. He will not give us that which will ruin us, but he will supply our needs. My dear friends, when you become his and you know this Father who first washes away our sins and receives us, one of the things you'll be glad he does is that he does not give you things according to what you think, but that he gives to you according to what he thinks. He is the all-wise. He is the all-kind. He is all-knowing. It doesn't take long at all, my dear friends, to begin to be thankful, if you are a Christian, to be thankful that God does not give you what you ask, but he gives you what he knows is profitable. And you will thank him time and again for that. He is a father also because he will train us. He will train us. He will gradually but firmly and powerfully make you even a far more better person than what he makes you at the day of conversion. He will train you. He will shape your character. He wants you to be like himself. Can't you see this? You don't like training, do you? Young persons don't like training. We think we have everything now. No, we don't. Now, we so much need to be shaped. We so much need to be formed again according to God's own image. Friends, a father has a home, and he will take us there. Wherever else he makes us roam about, he will take us home to be with him. And friends, I want to really close with us. It is only when we have found the Lord Jesus Christ as the way that no period of life becomes scary. Some people say the most scary part in life is old age. And it's the most uneasy. Because here you are, you're struggling with weak limbs and are challenging situations. And your children may be struggling what to do with you. Whether they have to put you in some old people's home or to keep your own home. My friend, surely, physically there will be all sorts of challenges. But my dear friend, this is it. There's no period in a Christian's life that the Lord designs us to be so comforting as old age. If those persons have truly lived for God, I tell people, I think there's a real pleasure in somebody who has come to the end of a work than somebody who's just beginning.
or who is in the midway.
If you begin your schooling, yes, your first school, I've gained admission at the university may seem nice. But by the first time, first or second year goes, you wish you finished. Isn't it? The finisher is far better. He can say, I finished my work. If he's walked with God, if he's a Christian, he can say, he's going for his reward. He has his eyes home. He's going to see the Savior he's loved all the days of his life. The greatest thing to pray for when the person is old, is in old age, is to say, dear Savior, stay nearer me. Keep my eyes ever on you. Let my eyes never go off you. If my eyes go off him, he feels miserable. Let the eyes be upon him. And this is the Savior. Perhaps in a year or two's time, the old man can say, I'm going to meet. I think that he can feel us with such an anticipation, with such longings, with such a sense that this world is too small a place and that we are almost tired of this one. We want the other. Friend, that's what Christianity does. When you have truly come to know the Lord, as the years roll on, you are filled with anticipation. Am I really going home? Is he really coming here? A day I will see the Savior. A day I will be among the angels. A day I will be made perfect. A day I will no longer struggle with sin and with the things that are transient and empty. Oh, friends, we praise the Savior. Friend, this is the way to such an everlasting home, full of assurances all the way, full of promises all the way. Why? Because it is the home of the Father. It's the Father's home. If you're moving from a rented house to the Father's home, I think there's a difference in feeling, isn't it? And so it is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, may we find our feet resting entirely upon the Savior, so that we desire nothing but him. Come to him. Repent of sin if you've not done that. Come as a sinner. Call upon him. Ask him to wash you. Lay your life into his arms in repentance and abandonment of all self-confidence. Come to him and yield your life to him, and you will find him a way that brings you to a Father, the everlasting Father. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we adore thee that in the Lord Jesus Christ we are granted such wonderful and sweetest of all pathways to heaven, that though there will be difficulties and deep troubles, yet it brings us home. It brings us to thee, Father. Oh Lord, we ask, open our eyes to see the glories that lie beyond this life. Open our eyes to see the vanity of the present. Open our eyes to see the folly of self-confidence, that we may come to thee. Give us grace to see our vulnerability, that we are such creatures that can easily be lured and so miss our way and be lost forever. Oh Lord, smash into pieces all sinful self-confidence and bring us as little children longing to be shown the way, and then to place our feet, as it were, yielding our lives to the Savior, to come to thee and find rest in him. O Lord, bring us to thyself. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.